ACTS, the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Today's Pentecost Sunday. This is when we celebrate the disciples, God's people, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's read this, Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we honor you today, Lord. We worship you today. Let us turn our focus onto you. Let us receive the message and let us walk in it, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and your will being done. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, we need you. We love you and praise you. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. And this is right before Jesus Christ ascends back to heaven, or right before Jesus Christ returns to the Father. So obviously this is after the resurrection of Jesus. And so for about 40 days, throughout 40 days, he makes several appearances to his disciples. So this is the end of that, and Jesus is about to return to the Father, and he says this right here. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And if you look down, if you jump down a couple verses, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But you will receive, it's kind of telling them a little bit about what this means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power. I want you guys to remember that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus says, look, I got a plan for you guys, and I got to go back to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans, okay? In not many days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what that means, Peter, what that means, John, what that means, James, is you are going to receive power, because I need you guys to be my witnesses, not just here in Jerusalem, which is where they're at this time, not just in Judea, not just in Samaria, but everywhere. So God says, I am going to equip you with the power that you need as my disciples to be the servants I need you to be. And so I'm going to go ahead and let you in on a little something. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't just for a handful of special disciples way back in the day. Can I get a witness? But it is for all people. Give the Lord some praise. I love you guys. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So we want to learn a little bit about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's true, you did. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, but there's something else if you want it, okay? And I think you want it. Because what you're basically saying is, God, I want everything that you have for me. I want to be equipped with the power, everything that you have for me, to be your witness, to be your servant, wherever you send me. So yes, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you. And now what's so amazing about that is when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a part of the Trinity. We're talking about the third man in the Trinity. We're talking about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit dwells inside of all the believers. Think about what I just said. That means God dwells in you. Okay? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside you. What an amazing thing. So this is where I've been convicted, okay, is Paul Rott is not living up to the potential that he could be living up to. What I mean by that, and Josh too, probably, I can't speak for Josh, but look, well, let's be honest, Josh doesn't, look, none of us are living at the place where we could live. I'm talking about we have this power in us. Okay, and I'm not just talking about saying no to sin, but you know what? With this power, I can say no to the sin that I've been tangled up with all for all my life. With the traumas that you have been through, you can have peace and joy. So yes, you were filled with the Holy Spirit upon salvation. So every single Bible-believing Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them. But there's this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's where you say, I want everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. Okay? And so it's been explained to me like this, and it works for me. Okay? When you get saved, it's like drinking a glass of ice water. But that ice water is now in me. Okay? Well, that's like the Holy Spirit is now in me. Okay? But then to be baptized in the Holy Spirit would be like to go to Ellen Merrill's pool and jump into it fully clothed. And you get out of that pool and your clothes are saturated, your hair is saturated. You're just soaking wet. Okay. And that's like being baptized in the Holy Spirit. After church, who wants to go to Ellen Merrill's pool and go swimming? I'm sorry. I'm just playing. Please don't show up over there. Okay, maybe this works. Maybe this will help you out too. Okay, so I saw a preacher do this week, and I was like, well, that's pretty good, but I'm not going to do it, but I'll try and explain it. So this preacher, he gets a glass of delicious milk. I believe it's cow's milk. It could have been goat's meat or milk or badger's milk. I don't know. But I believe it was cow's milk, okay? He's holding up a glass of milk that we all enjoy, okay? Then he pours some chocolate syrup in it, okay? So now the milk is filled with chocolate syrup, all right? Okay? And what is that a picture of? That's a picture of when I accept Christ, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then he stirs the chocolate up in the milk. Now you can't tell the chocolate from the milk. It's all saturated. It's all one thing. It's just chocolate milk. And he says, this is like when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, easy way to understand is that you're just saying, God, and you got to be a Christian. Okay. You got to be a Christian. You say, God, I want everything you have for me. Baptize me right now in your Holy Spirit. Give the Lord some praise. So let's go, slide two right here. We're going back before the cross. Our main text, we're talking about Jesus right before he ascends up into heaven. And he says, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now we're jumping back in time before his arrest. This is the Last Supper stuff right here, okay? And Jesus is talking to his disciples who are not having a very good day. And Jesus says this in John 14, 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Underline that in your neighbor's Bible. And he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. It says right here, whom the world cannot receive, or the unsaved cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they don't have a relationship with the Son. They don't have a relationship with the Father. So you cannot have a relationship with the Holy Spirit until you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you. So in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would fall on people. It would fall on them when God needed them to do something like Samson. The Holy Spirit would fall on Samson and he would go do some amazing thing. God needed someone to prophesy. The Holy Spirit would fall on that person and he would prophesy. And God says, look, disciples, I'm doing a new thing, okay? This is a new day, okay? And I will be, he says, you know him for he dwells with you. Remember, the Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, you know him. What's he saying? He said, you know me. Jesus is saying, you know me, guys. And if you know me, you know the Father. If you know me, you're going to know the Holy Spirit. Okay. And look, he says, and I will be in you. No. I'm sorry. I messed up. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. This Holy Spirit will be inside of believers. Okay. It's not something that will happen and then go away, but you will have the Holy Spirit with you. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So we're trying to understand a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And first of all, it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, I have the helper. Okay, what does that mean? It means, well, like it sounds, I have the help of God. If what I cannot do, as Vincent goes on his mission trip, as Paul Jr. goes on his mission trip, as you step out into your mission field and you run into a brick wall and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, okay, then the Holy Spirit will step in, okay? So, Paraclete, all God's people said Paraclete. I don't do a lot of fancy word talking and stuff. Rachel says, don't pretend like you're smart. So I don't do a lot of that. But, okay, but John, and she's right. She says, never mind. But John uses the term paraclete when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so what does that mean? It means, well, I wrote it down. I won't mess this up. One who is called to come alongside. Holy Spirit, Paraclete, one who is called to come alongside. So the Holy Spirit is my helper, and God says, you're going to do life with the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside to help you, okay? So what comes to mind when I heard about this Paraclete or when I heard about the Holy Spirit coming alongside of you and helping you through life or encouraging you? I automatically think about the two disciples of Jesus Christ, the two followers of Jesus Christ who were heartbroken, and they were on their way to the little town of Emmaus. On that first resurrection evening, that first Easter evening, they didn't know that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were getting out of town, man. They were walking to another town down the road, man, two followers of Jesus Christ, and they were heartbroken. But who came up beside them? Jesus Christ came up beside them, and he encouraged them. He helped them. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. And it says, he will be with you forever. So it's not something you have and then you don't have. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, is to have the Holy Spirit with you for the duration. Can I get a witness? It cannot be taken away from you. With that in mind, I'm kind of moving fast and jumping all over the place, but it's a big stuff. So with that in mind, I want us all to think about this. To have the Holy Spirit or God dwelling inside me, and this is tough, man, okay? But to have God inside me, and I go to do something I know I shouldn't do, can I get a witness? I'm dragging the Holy Spirit, I'm dragging God to be a part of something that repulses him. Think about that. He's not leaving me. What I'm doing is I'm grieving him, okay? Now, moving forward, the Holy Spirit, he says, even the Spirit of truth. So another name of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Okay. So he's my helper, and that helper's going to be with me forever. And that helper is the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth helps me understand what is true. In a world when it's pretty crazy, and sometimes my five senses, my five natural senses, ain't going to spell it out for me, I have the Spirit of truth. Amen. Can I get a witness? I have the Spirit of truth. Okay, now, remember we were talking about those two weary, heartbroken travelers, those followers of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Who comes up beside them? Jesus Christ. And he encourages them. How does he encourage them? He tells them the truth. He expounds on the scripture that they knew from childhood, saying, look, remember when you had to read this in synagogue? Remember when you had to do this in Saturday school? Remember all this stuff? This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about the Messiah. These things had to happen. And see, what was Jesus doing? He was encouraging them because he was showing them the truth of the situation. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. Can I get a witness? Huh? I don't know. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So look, let's jump down to a couple more verses. Just jump down with me to John 14, 26 and 27. But the helper, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper again. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So he will teach me and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay, so it says that he's going to teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit that dwells inside me teaches me, helps me understand scripture, helps me understand what God is doing in this hour. Amen? When a conversation is muddy and I don't know what's going on, God teaches me the truth of the situation. When I don't understand scripture, God says, hey, look at this. He teaches us how to live life. He teaches us everything we need. So he's my helper. So when I need help, guess what? He's there to fill in the cracks. He's there to do what I cannot do. Can I get a witness? Okay. So he is my teacher, and he brings to remembrance. I love that part. He brings to remembrance. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a conversation with somebody and they ask an honest spiritual question. They want to answer to something that they're going through. And I might not automatically remember, but God will bring it to remembrance just like that. I'm telling you, man, I've lived it over and over again where things that I didn't even realize I ever learned in scripture, God will bring back to my remembrance right away. You know, he will bring to remembrance. So he's talking to the disciples. And so the disciples are going to start remembering all kinds of stuff, like all these Old Testament prophecies. It's like, man, this was talking about Jesus. This was talking about all types of things are going to start making sense now to these guys, because as they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're going to have an understanding. God is going to begin to teach them things that, and he's going to reveal and bring things to remembrance that they had long forgot, that went right over their head in a conversation with Jesus 3 years ago. Amen. And God will do the same thing for us. Amen. And it says peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Okay. Now think about that. Now, when we look at our verse 27, it says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay. In this world we live in, God says, you got a choice. You got a choice right here. You don't have to be stressed out to the max. Okay, this isn't Paul Rott saying you don't have to. I'm reading the love letter Jesus wrote to you right here. And this is what he says to me and to you. He says, we don't have to live life like that. Why? Because I'm not alone. I have the helper and he is beside me. God is in me. God is beside me. Okay, he sticks closer to me than a brother. So whatever I'm facing, I'm not facing it alone. God's with me, and he gives me that peace that I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to work out for God's glory, and it's going to work out for my growth, and God truly loves me, and he's my helper, so he's going to do what's best for me. Amen? So look at this. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So he's making a comparison between God's peace, or the peace that the Holy Spirit gives us, compared to the peace that the world gives us. Now, keep in mind who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to guys that live in Roman-occupied Palestine. Israel is occupied by the Romans. Most of the world, known world, the Roman Empire is vast and huge, and they rule so much of the world at this time. And see, the Romans enforced peace. And Jesus says, not like that peace, okay? Not like the peace where when you're walking down the street, you're nervous and you're playing it cool and no one's causing any kind of ruckus because there's Roman soldiers marching down the street, right? And it's all peaceful when you look out the window because there's Roman soldiers on every corner. He's saying that's an outward peace. That's a fake, phony peace. That's when inside your heart, you're just devastated because you're being ruled by the Romans. You know what I mean? And they're forcing you to do these things. He's saying that's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that outward, phony, fake peace where the Roman says, how you doing? You're like, oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. Yeah, and really, I'm not really doing good, man. You know, because Caesar's taxing me. Everybody's taxing me. You know, my life is just crazy. You know, it's like when you go to the checkout line and the nice lady says, how you doing? You say, I'm doing great. Well, are you really doing great or are you just saying it? We can pretend we're doing great and inside we're just falling apart. But God says, no, I'm not talking about that type of peace. I'm talking about the real peace that my Holy Spirit gives you, that you know that no matter where you're at, whatever situation you're in, you will see brighter days, that God is going to get you through to a better place. Give the Lord some praise. So let's go to slide 3. Holy Spirit baptism. This is where the disciples get that promised baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, Pentecost was this huge harvest celebration, and it would draw people from all over to Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate. God knows what he's doing. God's always working behind the scenes. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were the disciples. A lot of people say it was a lot more than just the 12 at this point, that there was probably quite a few of them. Now, the followers of Jesus Christ at this time in history numbered about 120 people. That's not that many, right? That's the church, if I can say that, at this moment in history, about 120 people. We're talking about Mary Magdalene. We're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus' brothers now. We're talking about the 70 disciples, give or take. There's 120 followers of Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly how many are hanging out in this room, but whoever is in this room is about to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I have a feeling, okay? And it's written down. People on the radio. No, people, never mind. Okay. Moving forward. All God's people said, just move forward. Okay. All right, I'm working on it. Okay. I have a feeling that it was a lot more than just 12 people. I have a feeling that when the word went out, Jesus said, stay here and don't go anywhere until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to receive power. You're like, man, I don't quite understand that, but I'm going to be here. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. So all of a sudden, this huge noise just goes on. They're indoors, and there's this huge sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them. Remember, fire in the Old Testament represents God's presence. Think about the pillar of fire in the Exodus story, okay? Now, pillars of our tongues of fire appears over all the disciples. There's this huge noise. These tongues of fire appear over these people, appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. Didn't skip anybody. Didn't skip Thomas. It was there for all of them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're saturated in the Holy Spirit. They are freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And right away, we begin to see that power that God has promised. They begin to speak in a different tongue, in a different language that they didn't know 30 seconds before. Okay. And God's working big time. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. Because we need that power just like them. And when you talk about that, sometimes that scares people. Look, if God says you need it, you want it. You know what I mean? If God has it for us, we want it. Amen. Well, I wasn't raised that way. Look, okay, well, God bless you. God bless us all, right? I'm just saying if God wants us to have it, I'm not saying go around the Bible. We're not going to do no man-made stuff ever at this church. Never. Uh-uh. But I'm saying if God wants us to do it, if God wants us to be open to it, then we want it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't let that scare you. Just say, I want what God wants, whatever that is. Okay, so Acts 2. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Remember, it's a big time of celebration. So there's people coming from all over the known world. And at that sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So they weren't just speaking in a new tongue to the disciples, but all these, this multitude of people from different nations and different places were hearing these people from Galilee talking in their own language. So if you're a Cretan, you were hearing your language. If you were from Babylon or Mesopotamia, you were hearing it in your language. Arabia, I'm hearing it in my language. So all of a sudden, there's this huge commotion, this sound like a mighty rushing wind, and everybody going that's in line to do this or going over here to do this, like, whoa, what the heck was that, man? Everybody starts running to this, the focal point or ground zero of this huge noise, and when they get there, they see these dudes from Galilee, which were not the sophisticated type of people. You know what I mean? It's like the Galileans would be considered kind of like hillbillies. You know what I mean? No offense to hillbillies, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a hillbilly. No, I'm just saying that, okay, they were in Jerusalem. This was the epicenter of culture and education and all this stuff right there, okay? This is where the temple was. But here's the Galileans saying this stuff, eloquently speaking in these people's native language. See, the disciples needed that power. And God said, you need the power, and I'm going to give you the power because I need you to be my witnesses. And what are they doing? They have received that power, and they are being God's witnesses. Amen? So let's go to the, no, stay here. Stay here. Acts 2:11. Do we have that? Yeah. So if you notice, we go from verse 7 to verse 11. So we're skipping a couple verses. So just briefly, what's going on is it's describing the people, the nations that are there, the people from the what different nations and places these people are from that are getting this message. So we're just skipping that, and we're going to Acts 2:11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So when these disciples are talking in this tongue that these other people can hear in their native language, well, what are they saying? They're not giving directions. They're not singing a nursery rhyme. They're giving God glory. They're telling the Cretans, hey, man, God is good. Jesus Christ is the one true God. You know, telling the Jews, this Jesus who you killed is the Messiah. They're giving God glory. They're talking about the goodness of God, all right? And all these people are just like, man, these Galileans are telling me how awesome God is. How is this possible? Because the Holy Spirit is your helper. It empowers us. Amen. Acts 2 and verse 36. Look at this demonstration of God's power, of the Holy Spirit indwelling Peter. So we just seen where these guys begin to talk in language in this tongue. And this tongue is giving praise to God in all types of different languages. And it's drawing this huge crowd. And Peter seizes on this opportunity. Now, I want you to notice something. This is not the Peter of the Gospels who went and denied Jesus Christ three times. This is the same man, but something amazing has happened to him now. He has been filled with power. And so he sees all these people. And these guys were hiding out up until just about now. You know what I mean? All right. Huge thing happens. Peter seizes on the opportunity. He's like, this is a good crowd. Can everybody hear me? He begins to give this amazing, awesome sermon. I'm talking about this Holy Spirit-filled sermon and the boldness on this man, because we got to understand that in this crowd, there has to be people. There has to be people that had a hand in the death of Jesus Christ. There had to be a lot of those folks. And maybe they're starting to think that guy, isn't that guy? These guys look kind of familiar. But see, you know what? Nobody's afraid no more because they got the Holy Spirit. They got that power. And I want you to understand this, that a Christian is invincible until Jesus Christ calls them home. All right, what does that mean? That means you don't have to sweat anything. You don't have to worry about nothing. You're going to be here until Jesus Christ calls you home. And when he calls you home, it's better than you can imagine. Moving forward. Listen, just a snippet, just one verse of this sermon. Let all the house of Israel, just imagine Peter pointing out to these people that could ruin his life, these people that could have him tortured. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Talk about, you know, see that boldness? That's the Holy Spirit power. When someone can be so meek and so humble, but at that moment when need be, God will say, okay, it's time to turn up the heat a little bit. I need you to be bold. That's the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? Let's go to slide 5. Is the Holy Spirit for us now, or is it just for a select few back in the old days? Nope, it's for us now. It's for us now. Okay. Acts 2:38-39. We're just dipping in to Peter's sermon that he's giving. Okay. So Acts 2:38-39. And Peter said to them, okay, so what's going on? Peter says, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, says, you guys, they fall under conviction. And so they're like, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And this is what Peter says. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, the people he's talking to, for the promise is for you and for your children. Don't keep it with you. Take it home and let Junior know about this. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That's us. Once again, Victory Life Church is in the sermon. That's us right there. He says, you got to be saved. You got to repent. You're going to be baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just for you, but your kids and for the people that are reading this 2,000 years later. You know, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is for all people. Amen. All people. Now look, Acts 2 and verse 17. Same sermon, same guy, talking to the same crowd. Acts 2:17. Now this is really cool because Peter is going to quote Joel, the prophet Joel, from the Old Testament. Okay? And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. So is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit for just a select few 2,000 years ago, or is it for us today? It's for us today as well. And declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It's a picture of that power right there, that being equipped to be that vessel that God needs you to be. Amen. And see, here's the thing. God has spiritual gifts for every single person. All right. And so I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be freaking out about it. But if you want this, it's as easy as this. Just like when you were saved, how did you get saved? You asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And you believed that something happened. Whether you fell over backwards, whether you saw sparkles and rainbows, or whether you didn't feel nothing, Jesus Christ heard that and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and now you are a blood-bought Christian, okay? So to be baptized in the Holy Spirit's the same thing, to ask for it and receive it. Ask for it and receive it. You're just saying, God, I want everything that you have for me, whatever that is. Amen. So I want to read just a couple more verses, but look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. Talking about that power that we have access to. That's what I'm talking about. None of us, Paul, is not living where he can live, where he can be. What I'm saying is, man, we got God inside us. We got God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in me. Okay, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. But I say, do life. Remember, Paraclete, he comes walk alongside you. Yeah. Do life with the Holy Spirit, right? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Wow. So if I listen to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me, if I listen to what the Holy Spirit is teaching me, if I listen to my helper, I can keep myself out of a lot of trouble, right? Okay? And look at Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Oh, you here telling me I can't have a little wine? I'm not saying that. I think you need to be of legal age, whatever, you know, but let's see, check this out. Hey, you got to follow the law, right? Well, I don't know about that. No, you need to follow the law, man, okay? Now I'm just digging in everybody's personal business. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is Ephesians 5 and verse 18. So that's the Apostle Paul. We've heard from Jesus Christ. We've heard from Peter, and now this is the Apostle Paul, which he'd had Galatians 2, but this is the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:18. So he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and those were some dirty cats, man. Those guys were wild, dude. So there was a lot of demon worship in the pagan world, and Ephesus was no different, but there was a lot of sex and orgies and prostitution involved in worshiping the Ephesian gods. Okay, and to reach that level, to before they would enter into those things, they would get sloppy drunk, you know what I mean? So Paul's saying, look, not like that. Don't be led by something else. Because, I mean, think about it, man. I have been in a place because I've imbibed in way too much of something, whatever it might be, to where I'm making really, really bad, stupid decisions, right? Am I speaking the truth? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you wake up the next day, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Wow. What was that? You were being led by that alcohol or that drug, whatever it was. Yeah, that was what was leading you, right? So the Apostle Paul says, not like that. He's using a negative example to bring the positive. And he says, but do this. Be led by God. Be led by the Spirit, right? You're going to be led by something. You're going to serve somebody. And you have the power within you to serve God and to be his witness. So he says, be led by the Spirit. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so in that, what that translates to is a continuous thing. So let me explain this real fast. One baptism, many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I want everything you have for me. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Okay. Then over time, he says, be being filled. That's what it says. Be being filled with the Spirit. Just like life will get you down, man. You know, just like your car's running low on fuel, man. You know, you got to go fill it up sometimes. The Holy Spirit ain't going to leave you. But God wants us to get topped off all the time. Amen. He says, be being filled. So if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask to be filled afresh today. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you are going to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whatever he has for you. Okay? You are going to receive everything that God has for you. You say, God. Okay, so if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, Paul, you got to lay hands on everybody to do that. No, Peter didn't lay hands on Cornelius and his family, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the disciples in that room, no one was laying hands on them. They're baptized in the Spirit. So we're going to do a group thing right here, okay? And if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, if you want this, you just repeat after me. Father God, I love you. Thank you for saving my soul. I ask you to baptize me. Saturate me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am available and I want every gift that you have for me. I receive it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. For those of you, look at Jesus. I don't feel nothing. What did I just say? You don't have to feel anything. And you might feel something. I know the Holy Spirit's here. I feel the Holy Spirit. But you go get by yourself and you spend some time with the Lord today. Say, God, I allowed myself and I asked to receive everything you had for me. Now speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Reveal your word to me. Teach me your word. Give me what I need to have, Lord. I bet a lot of y'all start speaking in tongues. I bet it'll happen. Okay. Now, if you've already been baptized, and probably everyone's already been baptized now, but if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit already and you want a fresh filling, repeat after me. Father God, I love you. Thank you so much for forgiving me of my sins. Saving my soul. I ask you to fill me afresh. Fill me afresh with everything that you have. Top me off, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I would pray that, thank you, Jesus. I say that little prayer daily. You know, I can't say I do it every single day, but I do it a lot. Father God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit, man. You're going into a situation. Father God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. You're coming home from work. The kids are half naked running around the front yard. Like, Father God, fill me with your Yeah. Just fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's the blessing we have. I can't believe I said that. Yeah. So, okay. So look, God bless you guys.